B-Pod Studios.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Let's go to C.D. Dan. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. C.D. Dan.
Hey, man. What's going on, man?
What's happening, bro?
I want to touch on a couple of your side topics, and then I'll get into the two main topics.
Yes.
As far as the country Italian, the only thing that came to my mind, which I don't even think it's a real thing, would be like deep fried nucky or something like that. Like cheese nucky that you could deep fry. I think that would sound okay, I guess.
I've never had a fried gnocchi. Now, they have.
I don't even know if you can do it, to be honest.
You can fry anything, but they have fried ravioli, but I don't like that.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. You brought up the Sandlot, and I'll send this to you in an email. Dude, I made a picture, and I took all the people from my fantasy football league and replaced them all on the Sandlot cover, including the doll, because it made
That's awesome, dude. That's good.
Dude, as the league went on, I would cross them out. I would keep crossing them out, like, you know what I mean, as each player got eliminated. Yeah, I'll tell you that. And then I got a little poke a hole in your logic here. Where are you at on marble races, dude? Because that's a ball and a race. Now you got
I'm out on the marble.
I know you would. You would be.
Yeah, I'm out on the marble race. It's good because you're right. The marble is a ball.
Yeah, we both. It's not a sport. I understand. I was just playing with you.
Yeah,
it's a marble race. I don't know. You know, I probably could watch it for about 10 minutes, to be honest, and then it would get old. So, Ann, for the 2020 thing real quick, I don't think that the teams will make more championship appearances, but I do think you could get more championships. Yeah, because 9's a lot. Dude. 9 in a deck, you're talking almost one every year.
Yeah, it is a lot. You're right. You're right.
And I think it depends on like certain things like the Flyers. I don't know what Nolan Patrick is yet. I mean, he was the second overall pick, but if he comes in and he's, you know, phenomenal.
I think Flyers, then you got I expect 3 finals from the Flyers in the decade.
Oh, that would be great. That'd be great. And I do have faith in Carson to take us back. And the Sixers, obviously, you know, they can grow into a championship
team. I expect 3 Sixer finals appearances.
I want titles. I do want titles.
I agree. But
I'll take whatever I get. Anyway, sure. Okay. I'm a Wildwood guy. I grew up. My mother took me to Wildwood, and so I just wanted to give you a couple. I don't know if I answered all 8 questions, but it's just a couple of the nostalgic things for me.
Yeah.
All right. So some of the stuff is closed. The Lamppost Diner. I don't know if you remember that when you drove in North Wildwood. That was a staple. Now I go to Vegas Diner. Dracula's Castle.
Dracula's Castle.
The Giant Slide on Maury's Pier.
That burnt down, yeah.
Yeah, no, that was awesome, though. It wasn't even part of the pier. It's just nostalgic. I loved it.
Yeah, no,
Dante's Inferno on Maury's, though. You remember?
I remember Dante's Inferno, yes.
Yeah. Sam and Curly's as far as food. Love the fries, love the pizza. And my favorite,
Sam's over Max. I love curly fries.
I go Sam's over Max.
Curly fries are outrageous.
Dude, we stayed at Sam's. Like, above Sam's is the Shore Plaza Hotel. We used to stay there.
Right.
So we'd go down and get the pizza. So I don't know if I really gave Max a fair chance, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
I kind of, but, you know, I'll give it a shot this year. And then the sporting event would be, I loved when I was a kid, getting home after the board, riding the rides, and then there would be the late Phillies games, like against the Padres. So when you got back, you still had some, you know,
MLB. Yes.
And my trips were always set up like that. They always were set up like that. So usually, you know, that's like a week thing. Padres and then the Arizona Diamondbacks next.
Very good. And I love that. Yeah, go ahead.
Easy violation, dude, is feeding the seagulls. I think that's very easy on the boardwalk. It's just, it becomes a mess.
Feeding the seagulls is a violation. Yes.
Yeah.
Agreed. Yeah. Yes. Good stuff, CD Dan. Thank you, my brother. It's 12 o'clock. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast. We are a Beasley Media Group station. All right. My brother. Let's go to Glenn in Wallingford, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Glenn! Hello, G? We got Glenn, Tunis?
I guess he's... Take us off mute there, Glenn.
All right, he got us on mute. We'll go back to him. Let's go to Josh. We have Josh. Nick in Schwenksville is on.
Hey, how are you?
Nick, hey.
Hey. So, real quick, that Kentucky meets Italian, it's probably going to be some chicken parm with some fried chicken, though, instead.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Ew. Wait a second. Fried chicken? Not a cutlet?
No, man. No. I don't know how it's going to be, but good luck with that.
Yeah, no.
Yes. Yeah, but what I wanted to talk about is Jalen Reagor and Doug's coaching experience.
Yes.
I've been reading his book, Fearless, recently, and he talked about how when he was a head coach for the high school team that he coached, he was working with a ton of small, fast receivers, kind of how Reagor is. Okay. And so I'm thinking maybe if we coach him right, you know, I'm just hopeful. But Doug seems to have experience with that kind of guy.
All right. All right.
And so I think there's a lot more hope than, like, you know, he did really good calling plays as that head coach of that high school.
I mean, you know, high school, right?
Oh, I know. Oh, yeah, I know. It's miles away from anything near college or the NFL. But I'm just hopeful.
No, it's a great point, Nick, that you bring up about Doug. And, you know, I didn't read the book. So if he talks about smaller players, I think that's interesting. That's good.
Yeah, just something I noticed and got, just trying to find the bright side of that draft.
Yeah, I like it. But, today's all optimism day.
Amen.
I love the optimism, man.
Yeah.
I like it. Let me give you a salutation game.
You got it.
All right. I'm going to give you, where are we at? Bones versus Fella. What's up, Bones?
I got to go Fella on that.
You go Fella over Bones?
I got it.
Oh, Mr. Bones, really?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Fella's just universal. But can I give a quick shout-out to Young Bull?
You were another Young Bull guy?
Yeah, I don't use it too much, but I've heard it a lot.
well, yeah, it's popular. Yeah. But, like, have you heard Killer? Yeah, heard Killer?
I might have. It's a tough one, but I just got to show some support for the Young Bull.
All right, I'll tell you what. I'll give you your vote for Young Bull, and I'll take away your Fella vote. All right? I think that's fair.
Oh, come on, man.
Fella. What's up, Fella? Who says Fella?
Who says Bones?
A lot of people say Bones. Just because you're a horse guy, the Farmer Andrew.
Howdy, fella.
Nobody says fella.
Nobody says Bones.
Yes, they do. Mr. Bones, your Bones.
By the way, I did end up putting up the Killer versus Young Bull poll.
Why did you do that?
Because I had to see. I wouldn't have been able to sleep tonight.
Of course, Young Bull is winning.
Yeah.
But again, the Killer is more old school. Yo, Killer. What's up, Killer? I just think it's cooler.
Young Bull's pretty cool.
Not as cool as Killer. Hey, what's up, Killer? Come on, man. If you're walking around, somebody calls you Killer, you go, wow.
Oh, I must be cool. Well, that guy's cool.
Well, no, you must be like, all right, that's a compliment.
The Goose tweets in, I've never used or heard Bones.
I don't need the Goose to chime in on Bones versus Fella. Use Fella. Hello, Fella.
So are you moving moving Bones on, or are we going to wait? Well, what are we doing here? With Bones or Fella?
I'm going to give it another...
another run?
I'm going to give it another run.
All right. We also have another poll, by the way. And it's the Short Town poll.
All right. So wait. I'll put Young Boy. I'll make sure Young Boy is...
Moves on.
Well, my man Danny Muriello. Danny says, tell Tunis to shut the F up. Everybody uses Bones.
Who?
My man Danny on the text board. Said that. Anyway, go ahead.
Everybody. The best short town poll. The poll of the day is brought to you by Marvin E. Cantz Heating and Air Conditioning. Marvin E. Cantz Heating and Air Conditioning is open and able to assist you with any emergency service and replacement needs, including installation of air scrubbers and other air quality products. Visit MarvinEcantz.com. It's on at 975 middays. The best shore town. We have four options, but the fourth one is the write-in option. Wildwood, Sea Isle, Ocean City, New Jersey, and then the write-in option. Is that, are you okay with those three main options?
So you got, once again, you got
Wildwood,
right?
Sea Isle,
right?
Ocean City, New Jersey, and then the fourth option is the write-in.
Okay.
So Wildwood, 29.8% of the vote leads the way.
Wow.
Sea Isle in second, 29.4% of the vote.
Really?
Yeah, big bar town, Sea Isle. So I guess, and I think that's more, like a lot of people my generation are going Sea Isle over the other beaches. I thought Sea Isle was more family, like when I was growing up, but now it's like, since people have turned 21, my generation, I mean, they're attacking Sea Isle.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
Ocean City, New Jersey, third with 22.2%. And then the write-in has 17.9%. And a lot of people responding with LBI as one of the options. Cape May, Avalon, those kinds of beaches. Avalon. A lot of Avalons.
But here's the thing, though. You shouldn't have you should have like a Ventnor Margate. And then Avalon, you can only do four.
Yeah, but
right?
Yeah, you can only do four. And Cape May's getting a lot of love. Brigantine, AC is getting love.
Oh, no, Brigantine too, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I'd be too biased to have that on there. Brigantine's not popular. Like Wildwood, Ocean City, New Jersey, and Sea Isle is popular.
Two separate polls. So you would go Wildwood, Ocean City, Sea Isle, Avalon. Or Cape May, right?
Yes.
And then you do the Avalon, Margate, AC. You do Ventnor Margate, right? AC, Brigantine. How about that? Or actually, you move Avalon to the Wildwood region and Sea Isle to the, which further down?
Sea Isle would run away with the other one, though. Because people are flocking to Sea Isle for the bars. I feel like that would be stone cold lock.
Really?
Yes.
Sea Isle?
Yeah.
But Sea Isle belongs to go up against AC and Ventnor Margate.
Yeah, but I feel like that's going to run. I mean, right now, it's Sea Isle and Wildwood are so good. 29.8 and 29.4.
I'm just saying, you get all the eight big towns in.
Then we narrow it down.
Yeah, then they fight. It's like the brackets, man. Yes. Oh my God, this is great! All right, let me give you another one, and then we gotta do our playback, and then all your calls. And a lot of people want to chime in on this stuff. Give me the Tunis best shore town.
I think I go more childhood. Like I love Brigantine, obviously, but Ocean City, New Jersey, was where I spent. You know, a lot of time my summers
really?
Growing up. Yeah, that we were an OCNJ family. Yeah, I really, you know, Wildwood was, I would go with my friends once we had a license, right, to drive down. But
right.
The family trip, we were an Ocean City, New Jersey family. And now I found an appreciation for all of the beaches, obviously, because they all have different stuff. Right, Ocean City, New Jersey, dry town. So when I'm a kid, that doesn't bother me. But now that I'm 21, I'm probably not going to Ocean City, New Jersey.
All right.
But as you know, majority of my lifetime has been Ocean City, New Jersey. So I would go there.
You're Ocean City guy.
Yeah.
All right.
And I
all
love
right.
Brigantine, but as a kid, it's boring. Because there's not much to do.
Yeah, but you know what's funny? Though? You're right. Because then once you get older, you go, all I want to do is look at the
water. Oh, that's why I love it. Yeah, yeah right? Like, and plus, you know, if you're down there for a week, you'll probably make the trip to AC at some point. There's a lot to do once you're a little bit older.
Well,
but when you're a kid, it's, you know, there's an ice cream joint. There's an arcade on a boardwalk. It's just on the street.
Yeah, but dude, let me tell you something. When you're a kid, there's nothing better than Wildwood.
Right.
Wildwood. As
oh, everything kid. Going on, all the peers?
It's,
yeah.
It's kid heaven, man. It's Vegas for 10-year-olds. You know what I'm saying?
That's awesome.
It really is. Like, if I was the... Jen Fred was at the, with the mayor of Wildwood, right? If I was the mayor of Wildwood, my slogan would be Vegas for 10-year-olds. I mean, come on. You're a 10-year-old. You got pizza, ice cream, fries, rides, water rides. You got everything. Games, arcades. Come on. That's Vegas. For a 10-year-old.
For kids.
Right?
Well, Ocean City has it, too. They got the Rise, the arcades, and the...
Listen, Ocean City's terrific, but that boardwalk pales in a Wildwood boardwalk. Come on. No comparison.
Is it right pale? I don't know.
Oh, dude, it's not even close.
When you're a 10-year-old.
That's like AA. Like, it's like Lehigh Valley. I'll give you AAA status.
Wildwood's big leagues?
Yeah, dude. The Ocean City to Wildwood? Ocean City to Wildwood is Wildwood to Disney World. That's my math. That's my amusement math for you right there.
Wait, so you go Wildwood a step below to Disney?
Well, no, I'm saying, but the jump from Wildwood to Disney is like the jump from Ocean City to Wildwood. Yeah, Ocean City boy.
Oh, you're disrespecting.
It's not even a pier. It's got one pier. Come on, dude. It's like the...
Yeah, but they got the rides.
Nah, they're bogus rides.
They're the same rides. There's no rickety wooden roller coaster. That's the only difference.
They don't have the amount, the array of rides.
Yes, they do.
No, they don't.
They got the slingshot and the double shot.
It's like a carnival.
They got the pirate ship that swings.
Get the hell out of here.
They got the log flume.
It's barely the Stella Maris carnival.
Oh, come on.
Get out. Stop. You can't compare boardwalks. It's not even close. All right, let's take a quick TO. We'll continue this argument.
All right, Bones.
After the playback, Mr. Bones. Well, that's coming up. It's me and my cousin call each other. Yeah, but whatever. I'm not getting into it again because you don't know what you're talking about.
No, barely everyone says it.
I don't care what anybody says. Young boy, we're going to come into the playback and go way back to Sixers. And the last title, that's next. You don't want to miss it, because Radio with Judas, 97.5 The Fanatic.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Get back to the Sure stuff coming up in just a bit. But first, we got to go back to our playback, and it's a great one. All week long, we've been celebrating the 83 Sixers. Today, we go back to Game 4 of the 83 Finals. Oh, Judas. Amazing. Amazing. This was it. The date, May 31st. Sixers were up 3-0 in the series. Game 4, a Sunday afternoon, live from the Forum in Inglewood, California. Dick Stockton, Bill Russell on the call. Let's get up to speed with Brett Musburger on CBS.
Moses Malone and the Philadelphia 76ers are on the outskirts of the promised land. One more victory and all that frustration is over. Philadelphia will finally have won its NBA championship. And the great Julius Erving will finally have his championship ring. The Lakers are counting on pride to avoid a sweep here tonight. But they must solve that savage Philadelphia defense. Or the frustrating agony of the last three games will continue for Los Angeles. For Billy Cunningham, this could be the biggest night of his coaching career. And he'll do it in Southern California. The Forum in Los Angeles is the scene for this, the fourth game of the NBA World Championship. It is only about half full. Keep in mind that it is 6 p.m. here in Los Angeles. It could be either A, late arriving crowd, or B, an audience that may be ready to run up the white flag. We'll have to wait and see. When this series began, we were saying that the defending champion Los Angeles Lakers could become the first team in 13 years to win back-to-back titles. Now, the Philadelphia 76ers have reduced everyone to saying that the Lakers must become the first team in history ever to come back from an 0-3 deficit.
Wow, there it is, Junits! You ready for the celebration to begin? We're about to celebrate ourselves today. Since you weren't born when it started, we got to celebrate, all right?
All right. Early some Jack here.
Early first quarter. Here's what Stockton says about the Sixers playoff record. And then more incredible analysis by Bill Russell.
If the 76ers win, they will establish with a 12-1 mark the best playoff percentage ever in the NBA.
That's pretty near perfect, Dave.
James Worthy, the fine rookie, out with a broken leg. McAdoo is hurt. Nixon is hurt. Julius Malone, the offensive rebound. And that's what he does best.
Warning, this is a hot take alert.
Well, that's pretty much near perfect, Dick. Wow, Bill. Thanks.
I love your Russell hate. That's good. It's good hate. During the intro, you heard Brett, and he mentioned that the Forum was only half full moments before the game. That's amazing. But thanks to Silk Wilkes and the And One, you can hear the building start to murmur.
Andrew Tony working against Wilkes. Traveling ball against Andrew. Andrew Tony back on the fence, and Jamal Wilkes beats the Sixers down the court, and the basket is good. And a foul as well. The Lakers haven't seen enough of this kind of play in this series to suit them, Bill.
Well, I think that one of the things here's a pass from Magic. He gets the ball, and he's always looking up court. And there's Jamal Wilkes free, because if you're free, Magic can get the ball to you.
We love that analysis. If you're free, Magic can get the ball to you.
It's not bad. It's thank you, Captain Obvious, but it's not bad. It's better than, oh, the Sixers are 12-1. Oh, that's almost perfect.
All right. Games back and forth early. Six late lead changes early on. And here's Kurt Rambis, who can make it seven, give the Lakers the lead.
We've had six lead changes, and the Lakers are trying to make it seven right here as Michael Cooper has it knocked away, and Rambis take on Malone, gets Malone in the air, and gives the Lakers the lead once more. Back and forth we go. We have 7.5 minutes remaining in the first period.
Wow. There it is. There it is. All right, Tunis, let's continue in this great game, game four. Giddy. Don't play a big role. Bobby Jones. And here he is. Great defense. And then Moses on the other end.
Fine defense by Bobby Jones. Clement Johnson with the rebound. Jeez. Has Rambis on him.
They think it's a mismatch card. Magic's
on Malone. And he takes advantage of it. They found him. That's one thing the Lakers haven't done, is taken advantage of an open man when they've had a man free inside. Philadelphia has, as they did there. Sixers have run off six straight points.
Clement Johnson was a big time, like, backup big. He was a good player for Here you go. Sixers up one. 10 seconds left, first quarter. Clint Richardson fires up an air ball. And all of a sudden, we get a little preview into the future with an actual three-pointer, Andrew.
Kareem has 12 points, far and away the leading scorer of this period. Julius has 6 of the 7 men who have scored. Wild shot, 5 seconds to go. Cooper looks up at the clock and pulls up for the shot. A three-pointer. We got a long way to go in this game. One period is history, but the Lakers have taken the lead on this three-point shot by Michael Cooper.
That's a good way to end the quarter. Now to see how these guys are played after newness of the game wears off.
LA 26, Philly 24 will return to the Forum after this word from your local station.
All right. Second quarter, all Lakers, all purple and gold. They outscore the Sixers 39-27 in the quarter alone. Here's some of the highlights.
Lakers trailed the Sixers 3-0. Philadelphia looking for a sweep to go home to a big parade in the Quaker City. Green skyhook, and he has 14 points now. He is the leading scorer in this series. For the Lakers, has hit 6 of his first 7 shots from the field. Kareem is on Iveroni. This is the turnaround. McGee gives it up to Magic. 2-0 for Magic Johnson. Magic Johnson. Iveroni had it and lost it. McGee picks up the loose ball, and Mike McGee with his second basket of the game. Landsberger gets the rebound. Coming out with it is Magic against Tony.
Well, he knew where Moses was, that's for sure.
Magic has 15. Kareem was on the bench and coming back soon has 14 points. Julius Erving is short with it. And Landsberger tears it away from Bobby Jones for his third rebound. And the crowd is up. Cheeks can't save it. Wilt is fouled.
Wow. Lake is all purple and gold. Lake is... All right. But, you know, spoil, right? Here it is. Third quarter. Mark Iveroni goes to the bench after picking up his 5th foul in the third quarter.
Yeah, take it easy there, Mark.
Right? Here comes Bobby Jones, and Bobby Jones and his Adam's apple are the spark.
5 on Iveroni, and he'll go after Bobby Jones. He has started all but 5 games for the Philadelphia 76ers as a rookie, 26-year-old rookie. Turnover gives it to Philadelphia. 7:31 on the clock, third period. Bobby Jones going in. Can he fly when he gets ahead of speed? 9-point game. Malone gets the rebound. He has 11 rebounds in the ball game now. And Bobby Jones does it from the side. What a terrific playoff he's having. 5-for-6 in this game. He was 7-for-12, 6-for-11 in 2 other games shooting-wise. And that's only part of his asset.
All right. Bobby Jones, the spark. And then you know who else played a key role? Your namesake, Andrew Billy C, making all the right moves. Listen up.
His 7-point deficit, which is now 6, is the closest Philadelphia has come in the second half. It's the middle of the second period, actually. Biggest lead was 16 by the Lakers. It was 14 at the half, so Philadelphia has made up a big chunk. Here's Jamal Wilkes, and Clint Richardson gets the rebound. Trying to make it a 4-point game. Tony, go to the hoop, and a 4-point game, and LA is being challenged here in the waning moments of this third period.
Look at that. So the Sixers cut the Lakers' lead to 4, but in the blink of an eye, with the quarter waning, free throws for the Lakers, and then a bad Sixer turnover all of a sudden lead back to double digits.
7 seconds to go. Turnover to Magic Johnson. Shuffles it inside to Dwight Jones. And lays it down. Here's how it happened. And Landsberger's shot counted at the end. He just great. Got it off inside.
All right, so Lakers up 93-82 to start the final quarter. And, I remember, man, being a kid, I'm thinking, well, that's all right, because we'll win it at the Spectrum. But, of course, there was nothing ever guaranteed with the Sixers. They had blown 3-1 leads. So it's 93-82. But, man, the Sixers dominated the fourth quarter. And they did it thanks to incredible defense.
Clint Richardson is on Magic Johnson. Malone just waiting for someone to come inside. He's on Rambis. Bobby Jones on a steal. 2-on-1 break. Clint Richardson and Bobby Jones. And now the Sixers are as close as they've been since the middle of the second period. And it's quieted considerably here at the Forum. And the dancing has stopped for the moment. Kareem has to come in. Pat Riley would have liked a bigger cushion, but he has no choice now.
All right. So, six is on a roll. Big roll. And here it is. Moses. A beast on the boards. And listen to the actual great point by the Bill Russell.
The crowd thought that Malone had fouled Abdul-Jabbar. Just a thought.
Crowds don't think.
Oh,
they react.
Jinx driving in. Malone. Another offensive rebound. Another one. Look at that. What do you do about that?
Moses, he owned Kareem. How can Kareem be as high as he is on that list? Bleep Kareem. Moses.
Screw those points.
Moses. Moses dominated him. Moses is like 6'4". They made him out to be like 6'9". And he dominated the glass. Moses.
That's a great line by Bill Russell, though. I gotta give him credit for that one.
Crowds don't think.
They react. That's not it bad. Is.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, no, he stinks.
All right. Right around the six-minute mark to go to game. Six is able to cut the lead to 3. And it listened to more Moses attacking the glass.
Moses, his 20th rebound in the ballgame. And the Sixers trying to cut it to 3. Cheeks does exactly that. And Philadelphia is making their fourth period run now.
That's how you board, ladies and gentlemen. On the 4 minutes left in the game, Sixers down 1. Moses grabs his 22nd rebound of the game. Sixers have the lead. Here's Andrew.
Kareem. And Malone snares the rebound with his reach. His 22nd rebound in the ball game. 4 minutes to go. Wilkes. Punching at Tony, punching at the ball. 5 seconds on the shot clock. Tony lost it, and Wilkes gets it back. Here come the Lakers. Cooper. And the Sixers want a timeout after that Cooper basket, but Wilkes got the measure of Andrew Tony on their 1-1 duel at the other end.
He was able to distract him.
All right, so Billy C wants timeout. Sixers down 1 now with 1.5 minutes left. Another chance to take the lead. Could they do it?
Julius gave up his dribble. Guarded by Magic. Wilkes is all over Tony. Cheeks with 1 second. They won't get it off. The 24-second clock expires. Big defense by L.A., Russ.
And the Lakers have to score this time down. You got to take advantage of that. When you can get a turnover like that, when they shut off, you've got to nail it down by scoring on it.
There it is.
Another 24-second shot clock violation.
I know.
Hurting the Sixers.
I know.
In a playoff game.
I know. I thought the same thing.
We always talk about the quadruple doink.
Yes, I know.
Come on, Brett.
Except history, they got to find their moment when the doctor answered the call right here.
1 point lead for L.A. Cooper. In the Kareem. Double team, skyhook. Sir. And Malone gets it out to Maurice Cheeks. 76ers looking to take the lead. And they will. And the man who may want it more than anyone else in this forum, Julius Erving, has made the steal and the big basket, and on the feed has given Philadelphia 108-107 lead.
The doc.
Yes.
Love the doc. My man, Julius Winfield Erving III. Sixers up one, and they don't look back. Here are the great moments that ends game four of the Sixers title in Los Angeles. Listen up.
Julius with 10, with Magic guarding him. Erving outside. It's a big one. A big basket. And a 111-108 Philadelphia lead, and the Lakers call their last timeout. In the Kareem, knocked away by Cheeks and a steal. Cheeks will use up the clock. Close for the ball. And that may do it. And look at the Sixer bench.
They know it's that defense. So right again, that defense comes up with the big play.
Magic Johnson misses a three-pointer. And the Philadelphia 76ers, Maurice Cheeks, quiet, knows they're going to be the last champions, folks. And Billy's done it, finally.
Had 1 second left on the clock.
I don't think they're going to play that 1 second. Pat Riley and Billy Cunningham, Warriors, great coaches together. They're both great young coaches. They asked Julius Erving, would you rather win it at home? And he said no, because that would mean 72 hours more of wondering, and I've wondered long enough.
Wow.
Wow. That's a great line at the end.
That is outrageous.
Yo, Bill, first off, you can't step on the play-by-play guy. It's a five-point game. Oh, but there's 1 second left. Shut up.
I know. What a great moment. What a great moment, man. Sixes. Wow. I remember like yesterday. All right. 610-632-0975. We'll come back and hang out and much, much more. Hear your calls to Shore. And a lot of fun. Get some shout-outs going for the Shore. Good stuff. Cuz Radio with Tunis, 97.5 The Fanatic. Hey, let's talk about the uncles. Uncle Greg and Uncle Paul. I talked to Uncle Greg last night. In fact, Uncle Greg yesterday. He's in Avalon. Just made his way down for the weekend. But the dealership's open. Family, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Airport, Auto Mall. Where you go see the uncles. And right now, this is amazing. Because you can pick out the vehicle of your choice, fill out all the paperwork, do what you got to do, and you know what? They'll deliver it sanitized, pristine, right to your driveway, delivery vehicle like a pizza. Yes, incredible. The Uncles, Airport Auto Mall. Now, their service and parts department are open, so you need something, they got you. Like they always have. For three generations, they've had you. Always got your back. Family always has your back. Remember that. See Uncle Greg and Uncle Paul. And by the way, right now, it is the perfect, perfect time to get a vehicle. I mean, you can get a steal. So check it out. Go online, familyautos.com, and you can see all the great stuff that they have, all the great inventory, pictures of everything you need, all the paperwork, and it'll help you out. I'm telling you right now is a perfect time, and they're offering some great, pretty cool stuff like no payments for 72 months, all kinds of great financing deals. Check them out, the Airport Auto Mall, Family Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, where you're one of the customers. Yes, the uncles tell you you are family. See the uncles for details. The offer ends May 31st, 2020.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. The Fanatic.
love our Memorial Day weekend shows. A little tribute to the shore. By the way, Eric, happy birthday, Eric Thompson, to you. Shout out to my man Pete the Crab.
Hello.
Down the shore. Get ready. A little shore weekend. Listen, you can make the best of it, man. If you're heading down, enjoy yourself. Relax and smell the sea air. That's the best thing in the world, right?
When you first crossed the bridge.
You and I were talking about this. Smelling that air is the greatest. The sea air?
Yes.
Oh, it's the greatest.
Especially when you first make that, you know, that you cross over, you're getting close to the bridge, get that fishy smell. I'm in. Windows down.
Oh, it's the best. It's the best. Oh, my God.
And I don't know how you feel about it. As annoying as they are, the sound of the seagull is great.
Yeah,
Everything else about the seagull, awful.
Yes, I agree. I completely agree.
But the sound of it, I'm in.
I love the sound of the seagull. You're right on. But you're right. That's the only thing redeeming about them.
Oh, yeah. Everything else sucks. They poop on you. They dive at you to try to get your food. There's nitwits that like to feed them.
Do me a favor.
You want to hear the seagull?
Yeah. How'd you know? How'd you know? I want to hear it.
Been working with you for quite some time.
But I want to hear it. Like, transport me. Like, I'm not going down. So, transport me down there. I'd love to hear that. Classic. Let's go to Glenn in Wallingford. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. G.
Yo, what's happening, buddy? What's going on?
What's going on, G?
Hey, you know, it's funny. The other day I was trying to get on when you were doing the salutation. You were talking about the hoss, right? And it kind of made me laugh because it reminded me of... Hopalong Kasidich when they're standing in front of the helicopter. Remember?
Yes.
So, but you know what's funny?
Take a picture. Hopalong Kasidich.
Hopalong Kasidich. Right. Exactly. but I don't know if Tunis knows that you're not very popular with the Chicago Police Department. I don't know if he knows that. You know, he may be young. I don't know if he knows that you're not popular with them. So
he has no idea. No idea about it. Andrew, do me a favor. This weekend, put on Midnight Run. All right, okay. Andrew? Put it on. Do it for Glenn.
Yeah, do it for me. Come on, Tunis. You got to watch Midnight Run.
I'll do it for Glenn.
All right, thanks, buddy. I forget, no offense. I'll take plenty of offense. Hey, you know, it's funny because I was just going through the 80s again, obviously with this whole Jordan thing and just looking back at the Sixers, you know, and they made four finals appearances in 7 years, you know, starting in 77. And, you know, obviously they should have done more. I thought, you know, especially the year after, you know, the Michael Ray Richardson year after the championship was brutal. But, you know, that team was so good. And you just think about how hard the East was. And I always had more respect for Boston, even though I hated Boston. I always had more respect for Boston because they had to beat us to get out of the East. Whereas the Lakers had a bunch of trash out there, except for maybe like one Ralph Sampson year that was were good. But, you know, but the West stunk. And the Lakers just pretty much dominated, whereas the East, I mean, even Milwaukee was really, really good. Was really good, you know. So, you know, and then I was looking at the numbers a little bit more, right? So from through the 80s, you have, 20 possible combinations of teams that could have made a finals, or, you know, more combinations of that. But every year you have two teams that make the Eastern Conference Finals. You only had four teams until that last year where Chicago made the Eastern Conference Finals in 89. But before that, you had multiple teams make the, you know, it was either Philly or Boston. Milwaukee had made the Eastern Conference Finals, I think, three times and lost. And then Detroit, obviously, as well, until Chicago, finally, that 89 when they lost to Detroit. But the Eastern Conference was so, so tough to get through. Not only were they good, but they were, you know, again, just tough. You know, just physically going to beat your ass. And it's just kind of, you know, I love kind of reliving that, and I really appreciate the 83. But also there's a sense of, man, there could have been more, right?
I know. There should have been more.
There should have been more.
And in fact, I mean, you could pick every team Ed Sander should have been more.
I know.
Like, during that era. Every team. Like, not for nothing. How do the Eagles not win a Super Bowl with that defense in the late 80s, early 90s?
I know. I mean, and you can kind of look at individual games. I mean, the Redskin game at the Vet when he gets
trounced. Yeah, the Rams game.
Those games were brutal losses. There's no way, you know, you lose those games. I mean, you know, it's kind of like you kind of look at like the Marty Schottenheimer Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, those teams, you're a heavy favorite, and you just the coach just bad coaching. You know, the teams weren't prepared, and you know, I don't know. But I definitely appreciated the last 4 days of going through the 83 finals.
Yeah, that was fun. That was a great time. What do you think the odds are of 2020's eclipsing? The 80s. 9 finals appearances. Can we do? How would you lay the odds? Like, what odds would you give 2020s?
You know what? It's
+130?
I think they're
2-1,
good.
2-1, 3-1. What do you think?
I think that they're close to 130 for sure. I don't think they're 3-1 for sure. I think that those are even longer. Harder. I think they have a good shot, to tell you the truth. I mean, right now, I mean, it's 2020, and you got the Sixers, obviously, are still, you know, and I heard you talking to one of the callers the other day. You know, realistically, you know, these players don't hit their stride until they get later.
Exactly. You know, they got to grow
together.
Yes.
Exactly. So, and hey, listen, who knows about the coach? But with everything that's going on right now, I mean, I don't know if Brett gets a pass this year or how that works out. I mean, basically he played a whole season, underachieving. So you can't kind of overlook that either. But, you know, I kind of like the way that the Phillies are projecting. But, I mean, Klintak's got to go in my opinion. But
yes,
you know, but no, hey, listen, this would be normally a great time of year. Memorial Day, we'd be looking forward to any of the playoff action, and then just, you know, the wall-to-wall baseball time, and then obviously the Stanley Cup, the getting deeper into the playoffs. And, you know, it was funny, you were talking about, you know, what you remember down the shore, your favorite sports moment. And for me, it's, you know, I remember it was memorable. It was when the Flyers lost I was at the watching the Flyers Chicago Blackhawks at the Windrift down the shore.
Wow.
They lost game 6.
That kind of
put a real damper on that.
Now Flyer hockey, you're in playoffs. That's good. Hey, let me give you a salutation game.
Gotcha.
All right. Playa, the 4 seed, versus Holmes, the 13 seed.
Oh, man. So I kind of, at first, I was kind of like in Playa, but I find myself, whether it's just kidding around, say, yo, what's up, Holmes? But I think Playa is definitely just more of a, you know, I think that's definitely got to go forward.
All right, so Playa moves on. I'll give you one more. You got to weigh in. I'll give you choice to weigh in on the Bones versus Fella.
Oh, see, now I heard you talking about this earlier, so I'm not a Bones guy, but Fella is like 1880 Western movie where the barmaid came up and said, hey, how's it going there, Fella? Or you know what I mean? It's just, I don't know. I guess it's just.
Yeah, no. You pick it without bias. I'll whatever you say.
I guess Fella goes. Because I think females will say Fella, but more than I would say Bones. So I'm sorry, cause I gotta go Fella.
All right, so you go Fella.
By the way, one of my go to is Buddy. Everybody's Buddy to me. My dog's Buddy, and I see a little kid. Hey, Buddy, how's it going?
Buddy, so, yeah, I do the Buddy thing to the
Buddy's
kids
all too. Over the place. So
yeah, to the dogs and the kids.
Absolutely.
I mean, I don't know how you feel about Young Ball versus versus Kill. But, you know,
Young Buck kind of reminds me of like Young Buck. You know, I would say you bust out Young Buck before I would say Young Ball. So, I don't know. I find myself getting old, Anthony, listening to some of these salutations too, by the way. So I'm starting to, start to date myself with some of this stuff. I don't know.
It is what it is, brother. Listen, cool knows no age, man.
This is true, man. You are the antithesis of cool, so just keep it up, buddy.
Thanks, my brother. You're the best. See you, buddy. Take it easy.